Hello, everyone, and welcome to another race recap analysis. And this was stage six, Napoli to Napoli, a very interesting flat one. And after yesterday's escapades of a very wild, to say the least, finish to the stage, this was one where it was a bit more of a calm affair. The weather was brilliant, so the riders didn't really have the same kind of treacherous conditions or dogs on the road as we saw before. But nevertheless, we had a breakaway up the road, which featured some interesting riders, the two 36-year-olds of Alessandro De Marchi and Simon Clark, both of whom had tasted success before in the Grand Tour scenarios, most recently Simon Clark last year at the Tour de France. They managed to distance the rest of the riders on the second of the categorized climbs, got rid of the likes of Quartermain, Francesco Gavanetti, and by the time those two really just made sure that they had no one else but themselves. Before that, we saw Mark Cavendish struggling after yesterday's crash, and I must say it was just incredible that this man was still riding. And yeah, unfortunately, he was not going to be featuring at the pointy end of the stage, but we were seeing a number of teams getting involved. DSM were trying to defend their Maglia Rosa. We also saw Trek-Segafredo, UAE Team Emirates up there as well, trying to keep their riders safe in position. But with about 30 Ks to go, we still had a lead of 2 minutes and 21 seconds for the two riders out in front, the former teammates last year of Alessandro De Marchi and Simon Clark. They worked well together, and it seemed like the bunch behind wasn't really getting into some sort of organized chase, and the kilometers were ticking down. And then with about 15 kilometers to go, we had a mechanical for Primoz Roglic. So suddenly Primoz Roglic was on the back foot. His team was scrambling to get the former podium finisher of the Giro d'Italia back in contention, and it was really a bit of an alarming situation for Jumbo-Visma. They were doing everything. They threw Gloag and Rowan Dennis down to try and help him. They eventually managed to get up there, and there was nothing really too much of a bother for them. With about 12 kilometers to go, Geraint Thomas had another mechanical. So the two riders that I've been talking about always seeming to be in the worst moments, crashes, etc. Geraint Thomas and Primoz Roglic having difficulties, but mechanicals not really coming down. Although Roglic, we are not sure if he did come down because there was a hole in his shorts, so we don't know. But Geraint Thomas with the mechanical, so there was a bit of panic from him inside the last 10 kilometers out in front. So we had the drama of Geraint Thomas and then the breakaway up in front. The breakaway had a lead of 1 minute in the last 10 kilometers. So that rule of 1 minute for 10 kilometers, it looked very interesting here. Geraint Thomas and Ineos Grenadiers did their best to kind of get back with a bit of help from the team car. I don't know how people feel about that. I think it's fine when it's a mechanical or crash. You don't want to see Geraint Thomas, a rider who finished on the podium last year at the Tour de France, lose 20 seconds, 30 seconds because of a drop chain, because it happened in the wrong part of the stage. I think that is very wrong as well. So that aside, they did their best. They had Ben Swift back there. They had Ghana back there. They ultimately got past the team car as well, and they made it all the way back. Meanwhile, his team at the front were trying to slow things down. Trek-Segafredo and Movistar was doing the best to try and get this bracket down or this gap down. And then moments later, we saw Geraint Thomas back in the field where he belongs. Jacob Ayala was also up here trying to tease the chase as well, because they wanted to try and see if they could make sure that potentially it was down to the breakaway to get the sprint. Within 3.5 kilometers to go, we saw Ineos Grenadiers. They were still at the front, and Jonathan Milan with his boys as well, Andreas Leknessen as well, Bora Hansgrohe, all the GC riders just trying to stay out of trouble after the chaos that happened yesterday in the last few moments of the sprint. And we could then, unfortunately, inside the last kilometer, see the dreaded sight for the two riders out in front, the peloton closing down on them within the sprint. They were caught within the last 300 meters to go. Gaviria opened up the sprint for the peloton. Cofidis trying to answer as well. Mats Pedersen really putting on the pace. He dragged Milan into the contention as well. And then Mats Pedersen managing to come around Gaviria, took the victory for the first time in his career and becomes the first Dane to win Giro d'Italia stage since 2012, when it was Lars Bak who won his stage 12. Mats Pedersen also there completes his Grand Slam stage as stage wins, as they said. And it was an incredible finish, to say the least, of a really grueling stage in the last few moments. And obviously, heartbreak for Alessandro De Marchi, also for Simon Clark, who was so close to the victory, but alas, it wasn't their day. It didn't happen. But Mats Pedersen finishes at the stage first, Jonathan Milan in second place, Pascal Ackermann in third place, Caden Groves in fourth place, Gaviria in fifth place, Michael Matthews gets a result for Jake Oyula despite this in sixth place, Vincenzo Abelanese gets another top 10 in seventh place, Marius Meinhofer was probably the reason why DSM was working in eighth place, and Lorenzo Rota in ninth place for Intermarché's 1-2 Circus, and also Simone Velasco in 10th place for Astana, Kazakhstan. Incredible stage finish. It was a shame for the breakaway riders, to say the least, but Mats Pedersen, very, very good victory for him. He was so close on so many occasions. Yesterday, he was third. He even became second on one of the other stages. And I mean, it takes it a bit out of your teammates as well when you're not winning every single stage that they're working so hard for. Cisfasion worked really hard at the front. Emmanuel Gebrey Sabir as well. The Trek boys were really trying to throw something in here. Bauke Mollema as well was doing a solid effort as well. They really do believe in Mats Pedersen, and it really showed today. So getting that third stage completion of that set of victories in terms of the Grand Tour last year, winning at the Tour de France, then winning stages at the Vuelta a España, and now winning here in Napoli. What a sensational victory, and ending that drought for Danish cycling as well. 11 years in the making. That is a long drought, to say the least. And Mads Pedersen, I know Jonas Vingegaard is probably our golden bird right now in terms of riders, but Mads Pedersen is very close as well, the former world champion, and he will take a lot out of this, a lot of confidence as well. But equally in second place, Jonathan Milan taking that, I think, is a very interesting result as well. That young 22-year-old really showing that he has the capability to be up there regularly in these sprints. And we also have to talk about the Mario Ciclomino jersey as well, becoming one of the more intriguing competitions, one of the most intriguing ones we've had for a few years, to say the least. And I mean, he does keep the jersey in terms of Jonathan Milan, but Mats Pedersen, who was kind of out of that jersey contention for a bit, dragged himself a bit closer to the contention. But Jonathan Milan, he's leading it by 110 points, then 99 points for Caden Groves and 83 points for Mats Pedersen. Michael Matthews in fourth with 54 is now maybe too far, you would think, but that gap is widening ever more. But I think we might see the principal three riders of Groves, Pedersen and Milan potentially be the principal players in that. In terms of the Masters jersey classification, we didn't see any movement really in that in terms of the big guns. Francesco Gavezzi moves himself up, but equally, Thibaut Pinot didn't do any movements here in the race. And this could potentially be because what's coming up tomorrow on stage 7, that could be the reason here. So in terms of GC, we didn't have any movements in the top 10. Leknessen still has a 28-second advantage down to Remco Evenepoel, 30 seconds down to Aurélien Panu-Pantre, and then Joao Almeida, 1 minute, and Primoz Roglic and Geraint Thomas in fifth and sixth, despite having mechanicals on the day. Really good team riding by them as well. But in terms of the stage tomorrow, we've got a very exciting stage, to say the least. The first mountaintop finish, you would say. Gran Sasso Italia is the finish. It's going to be a grueling one. We've also got two more categorized climbs before that, and it could either be one for the breakaway because it's so early on and potentially see a bit of a GC battle, or it could really be a GC one that will be very fascinating, to say the least, if that comes into fruition. But yeah, what a day for Mads Pedersen. Every Danish fan is going to be happy about this as well. It's just incredible work this by the Trek boys, not giving up, really resilient. But equally, Jonathan Milan, what a ride from the young 22-year-old, still being in the points classification jersey. We haven't really seen that kind of riding from such a young rider since probably Fernando Gaviria in this jersey. But yeah, Remco Evenepoel keeps out of trouble, and all the other riders as well. So with that, thank you very much for watching. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and make sure to join me over on the Cycling Dane or the stream tomorrow on stage 7. And of course, as always, have a nice day, and I will see you around.